good for you. Can I say that?
Yeah.
And your Indian name is Mouthful of Absinthe.
Yeah, that works.
All right, go ahead and get it.
So, trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live from the back alleys of Babylon. We babysit the binary blip inside your brain with a combination of badinage and technological tabulations.
Wow.
Helping to sacralize your senses to the salacious songs of liberty with Absinthe. And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, which allows use and reuse by everyone but who?
Governments and government agents.
Yeah, we don't want none of them.
And their cousins.
And their cousins. But
and their fathers, uncles, former roommates.
Yeah. So, I'm Michael.
Can you feel the wormwood? Is it working?
Not yet.
I think Chandler's part of the absinthe industrial complex. I think the American Absinthe Institute is paying him to be on absinthe on the air.
Well, I think I kind of like the idea that this traditional, liquor is basically been outlawed, right? And it's outlawed for having wormwood, right?
And it just seems
appropriate.
It's legal now. When it was still illegal here, when I was in Prague in the Czech Republic, I went to a bar full of people who are slamming absinthe. And I got to say, that room had a different vibe than a room full of people drinking regular alcohol. It was thicker. The vibe was thicker and kind of vibrant.
Well, how did they serve it?
In flaming little glasses, but, one after the other all night.
Did they add like a sugar cube to it?
Yeah. Sugar cube of LSD, I think it is, right?
I think the LSD is not required. I think it has its own sort of psychoactive properties. So,
I don't know. People that say you trip out and stuff when you drink that, I don't think that's true. It's just that.
Are you melting? Melting.
You rarely have to cut off your own ear from doing it too much.
Yeah. Exactly. It's just more of a intense body buzz. Things seem a little brighter and you feel.
I just thought it tasted terrible. I'd had it backstage with one of our European shows that I did one time and somebody was like whipping it out and it looked like NyQuil and it kind of tasted like NyQuil.
Tastes like NyQuil.
Oh yeah. Man! Like, well, the guy that was selling it at Pork Fest
with a BIPCOT license. That's the header right now on my. On my Facebook is that table, the speakeasy at Porkfest with the BIPCOT license on it.
Yeah, I saw that. That's pretty cool. Yeah, I remember I got two glasses of it. He was selling them for $2 a Dixie cup. And it was really strong. I think it was diluted with a lot of alcohol. And it tasted horrible. It tasted like tree bark. And I was just like, wow, so this is what absinthe tastes like, especially with no sugar cube and no diluted with water or whatever.
Absinthe makes the heart grow fonder.
Sure does. But this stuff I've got actually, unfortunately, tastes even worse because it tastes like licorice, and I hate licorice.
Yeah, that's what I kind of remember tasting like. Just
government-approved American. That's why it tastes bad. Yeah.
But,
maybe there's another way to like experiment with wormwood that doesn't involve that
just
nasty beverage.
Some wormwood. Yeah.
Yeah, just shoot it. Grind it up and grind it up and
wormwood enemas.
Yeah.
I'm last night somebody, I think it was Jim Jesus, asked me what was it? He's like, "Yeah, I wanted a trip on the show, but Michael won't let me." I'm like, "I never said that. Everyone assumes that because I'm sober, you can't be around me if you're tripping balls, but I don't really care."
That wasn't true because you were around all of us at Pork Fest, and many of us
not
were.
For long. I left. You talking about the night you guys were drunk?
That too, the karaoke night, but
yeah,
that was after the barbecue.
Pork Fest. You were doing wormwood slammers. Yeah, I'm on albuterol right now, man. Albuterol's a heck of a drug. You know what that is?
Yeah, it makes you breathe.
Yeah, I had an asthma attack earlier because I ate something with egg in it. I am allergic to egg, so I had to nebulize some albuterol. Albuterol is really cheap. The inhalers are expensive, but the nebulized stuff is really cheap. It's like 20 cents a dose, and I got like a year's supply of it and a nebulizer. Basically, I have everything at home that they'd give you if you went in the ER for an asthma attack. It's pretty nice.
There we go.
Pretty sweet. Yep. And it's like $1,000 if you go to the ER, and it's like a dollar at my house. I should just open a a clinic for the neighborhood asthmatic children.
Yeah.
$20. I'll save you a trip to the ER. No, I'm kidding.
That would be great, because I remember I had two asthma attacks when I was a kid, and I got rushed to the hospital, and it was no fun, especially when you're a kid.
First of all, when you go to the ER, you don't get any medicine in you for over an hour.
Oh, know? At least.
Unless your arm's cut off or you have a gunshot wound. But yeah, man. So we got things to talk about tonight. We would make a lot of jokes about the please send snacks people in Oregon. And we're no longer joking, man. It's not funny anymore. The feds murdered somebody there today and arrested somebody else and closed the whole thing down. And I just can't think of anything funny about the government murdering somebody, at least not this too soon. What do you guys think?
No, it is sad. It really is. And his name is Lavoy Finicum.
He was an old dude. He was like 65 or 70, looked to me. And he looked real sweet, too.
There's this interview video on Raw Story that I just watched, which was from January 5th, I think. And he said, and he's this guy, he's sitting in a chair. He's got blankets, and he's dressed real warmly. He's hunkered down. He's got a tarp to, like, keep the rain off. And he's got, they say he has a rifle on his lap under the blanket. And he says that he's going to refuse a warrant. He says he understood they have a warrant out for him, and he's just going to sit right there, and he doesn't want them to come and point his guns, you know, at him, and he wants them to just go away, and you know, but he's not going to back down, and now he's dead because they shot him, you know. But you just watch this video, and you're like, really, this is the threat?
This is what these thugs do. They always target the innocent looking guy. Yeah, you know, I would think that after a while they would get
the one that won't shoot them.
Yeah,
he had his hands up.
Yeah, this guy was,
he had his hands up. You know,
this guy was harmless.
They don't shoot the guy who says I won't be taken alive and always is ready to shoot. And you know,
that guy that just came back with like an ex-Marine or something who looked fit and ready for you know, like might have actually put up a fight.
Yeah.
Like was back in Arizona. So
oh yeah, the guy that everybody was saying was a Fed, somehow after 2 or 3 weeks of being there, chose a couple hours before this raid to go home.
Imagine well, that. You know what? You'll see what the charges are. You know, he's got charges against that guy too. So
yeah.
Let's just see if he ends up like walking on some kind of weird deal. Well, then maybe that's true. But I wouldn't make that accusation. You know,
I would
like he's in. Well, I'd like to, I would. Say just you know, let's
who's
people
the Fed
know that's
is
speculation.
A dangerous game. Who's the Fed is a dangerous game unless it's Chris Cantwell. But anybody else,
I don't play that game. I really don't because that's a pretty serious accusation to me.
I wouldn't go as far as to say is that night. Guy's the Fed, but you know that there are more than one people there that are operatives for the federal government.
I mean, of
they're
course.
Just there to
there were
stir
also,
a pot.
I mean the people, you know, Ammon Bundy's crowd was saying that there were federal agents going into town posing as members of this militia and like doing rude things to local people to try to smear them.
Yeah,
you know?
It's all to get those guys even worse pressed.
But even that story about them posing as you know, feds caught posing as militiamen and then being unruly, that whole posing as militia, I think, was later just like, well, they were just here and they were being unruly. Like this posing as militia thing was kind of like not really verified. So,
well, but it's not hard to do. What do you do? Strap a rifle on and put some camo on?
Yeah, or
I'm a
it'd
militia.
Be easy for right, but they're not necessarily posing as anything if they just happen to look like that. So,
yeah, I suppose that's true too.
Anyway, just this is tragic, and you know what? And these people, those awful people, on the left, like Montel Williams, that begged the government for blood against these people. They begged them to murder them, and they got their way. So people like Montel Williams and everybody else that was like, why are, you know, go in there and, you know, take them out. You know, like
a lot of people
all of that, those
Black
sick
Lives
people
Matter were like that.
Those sick, awful people got what they wanted, and they should watch this video of this guy and say, like, see, well, you got your way. This guy's dead. He has 11. This guy has 11 foster children.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
And, you know, and like takes care of cows and rides his horse. Okay. Way to go, left.
Yeah.
How you demanded murder and you got it.
And how many of those people who demanded murder on the left, like, actually have foster kids? Probably a few of them do, but and they're even lower in the bar. There's even an ad on TV now. It's called usadopt.gov or something, and it's like, it's this little cartoon about this girl and her cat getting adopted, and it's the tagline at the end is, "You don't even have to be a perfect parent. Adopt today."
Oh, man.
Well, you see that all the time. Like, this kind of leads into another story I want to talk about tonight, but you'll see the state take kids from parents for totally invalid reasons and put them in homes where the kids are totally mistreated, abused, and endangered. And it's okay with the state because, you know, they got their way.
It seems like that story, I hear that story over and over again. It's just a repeating narrative that seems to be a constant.
Well, it's the adoption system that has oversight by the feds is just as ineffectual as every other federal bureaucracy, you know? So, of course, you're going to see that kind of abuse and misuse.
Right.
Yeah.
Just it's that much worse when it, you know, when the people vulnerable are children, you know?
Yeah, so they have no say in it. You know, they're just stripped and taken from their homes and put somewhere else. It's very
And that,
sad.
You know, that is horrifying to any parent. You know, that is absolutely horrifying, the possibilities. I mean, that's why, seriously, you know, of all the government agencies that I would actually just, like, be really scared about, it would be something like the FBI, you know what, bring them. Before Child Protective Services, please. Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they can hold that leverage over you. I mean, I can remember...
And they have no limits. There's no limits. You know, all the other departments can hurt me. That's the department that says, and we, you know, that, you know, like any, like, real serious criminal gang, they're always willing to target your family to put pressure on you, you know?
Oh, yeah. And they're so biased and horrible, because I can remember going, when I went to get custody of my kid, you know, 13, 14 years ago, I don't even remember what they call them, not the administrator. It wasn't a judge, but it was something like that. It was so advocate. Biased. Yeah, yeah. Kind of like an advocate.
I think they are judges. It's just there's no jury in those courts.
Yeah, it's family court, so it's a total sham. But
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Hey, this is Squizcar Squigelts from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedoms Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons. And you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And ask me about my worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Bernie Sanders is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like tinkle.
I saw the best meme today on Facebook. Yeah. It showed Bush when he took office, you know, fairly young and vibrant looking.
Oh, then, there's one of Obama, too. Gray hair in 4 years.
This is good.
But it showed Bush, Obama, and then it showed Sanders, like, taking office, you know, and he looks old and ancient. And then the after picture was the guy from Tales from the Crypt, the Crypt Keeper.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is a liar, a socialist, and he smells like corporate welfare and prostitutes.
Oh, he's horrible. They're all so horrible.
Well, Barack Obama is a liar and a socialist, and his feet stink.
Have you guys seen the, there's a photo going around of a guy wearing a shirt, and on the back, you just see him from the back, it says, "I'm a Christian conservative veteran, and I support Bernie Sanders. Do you have the stones to ask me why?" And it's got a U.S. flag. Okay. So, you know, I was thinking, like, you know, what would his answer be? You know, like, he loves Jesus, shooting people, and free stuff. You know? I mean,
well, that's the American flag right there.
Yeah, it's like, it makes perfect sense.
Sanders.
I just can't get away from it, you know? That's what everyone is talking about, Trump and Sanders. I'm just like, oh, they're all so equally bad, just stop.
You know, but, you know, I want to laugh it off and just be like, oh, these guys are the worst and stuff. But, you know, sometimes they just really make you mad, like, you know, like the left, when they get so bloodthirsty, you know, and demanding that, like, these poor, that murder take place, and then it happens, or these... you know, or the, you know, these Trump people, when they get all like, you know, and get him out of here and rough him up, and it's like, this is just the worst of humanity seeping out from these people. I'm like,
that's the thing I've noticed about, I guess, I hate to generalize and collectivize, but people that vote and look for leaders, they claim to be so enlightened, right? But they all want to use violence to achieve their means. You know, like the left want to shoot those ranchers that are taking over the reserve, and then the right people want to, you know, round up and deport and jail and kill all those horrible immigrants that took our gerbs and all that stuff. And it's just like, why do you guys have to be so violent? You know, have you ever heard of like discussion and working things out voluntarily and just kind of, you know, getting past your petty differences? But I guess
Certainly a human trait that they have learned to play like a violin, you know, to where people can benefit from this slave against slave mentality is a lot easier to deal with, right, than all of those slaves against you. Somehow this is, you know, become an effective control mechanism, and people get so easily manipulated.
Yeah, but you know what kills me too is when you talk to these people, and the main thing I bring up, right, is I'm like, why do you want a leader? Why do you want somebody to rule over you and tell you what to do? And they're like, well, I don't, and I kind of see your point, but this is the system we live in, and it's not going to change, especially not overnight, so we have to vote, and we have to vote for the lesser of two evil. And I'm like, no, you really don't. I mean, yeah, things won't change overnight, but if you have that attitude, things will never change. So why can't you, you know, make that change in your own life first? And they're like,
or at least just stop being part of the encouragement team, you know? Right. Like, stop being the one that been like, "Yeah, you got my vote, buddy. Go get 'em." You know?
Well, I found one guy that I would vote for. I posted it a few weeks ago, and you guys ever watched the short cartoon by a guy from Maine, and it's called Temp Tales?
No.
Yeah, check that out on YouTube, and Green Bud Kelly. It's like South Park for Maine. It's wicked funny, and there's a political ad, Green Bud Maine for Green Bud Kelly for governor. That's the star of the show. Yeah, he'd get my vote. He's a heck of a lot better than LePage.
Well, you know, I'm considering getting behind D's nuts this year. Vermin Supreme, you know, always attempting
Invictus Supreme. Person to vote for. Invictus Supreme. Both the left and the right. And the
I've always wanted a pony.
And the black hole behind the middle.
Yeah. Hey, I want Angela to chime in on this Oregon thing, but we're about to go to Give us a hint there, Angela. How do you feel about this Oregon thing?
Disgusted. I really actually did think that they would show some restraint and not actually kill these people. I thought the worst that would happen is that they'd all wind up in prison and lose everything. Granted, that wasn't a great fate, but I thought that was going to be the absolute worst. But no, the state... I mean, I don't know why... I mean, it's just my being ridiculous. I mean, history has proven that I'm wrong again and again on that particular issue. Of course, it's going to end in bloodshed.
Yep. It's disgusting.
You're
listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
This is like with a 100-round magazine on a machine gun mounted on a quadcopter that also had a self-destruct mode that ended up like flying inside a car and detonating.
You won't say that Cantwell's a fed, but you will say that he has bad gun handling, right?
I will.
Well, that's, let's just say if I was hanging out with him, I would prefer that he remained, you know, like not with a gun in his hand. You know, like I think. I'm just
So you'd kill him and pry his gun from his cold, dead hand. Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm going to say, like, why don't you go for the bear spray? You know, like,
there you go.
Yeah.
Target shooting with bear spray. So I just sent James the FBI statement that they just released on the Bundy militia shootout. You know, I think most people who hear that there was a shootout probably assume the militia men drew on the FBI agents. I assume the opposite. No matter what their investigation tells, and you know, the guy that was killed supposedly had his hands up. So I just assume the government murders people all day long. But do you want to read?
Well, let's. I think it's way too soon to even be concerned with what the real details are, because you know whatever they're telling us is probably a lie or wrong, and it'll be like they'll come up with three different narratives over the next week. So.
Angela, did you have something to say about this? We got cut off by the break.
No, other than I'm occasionally losing signal from the Fiend hovercraft.
Okay. Well, that's because you're in Californistan. Fiend phone doesn't work that well in Californistan, apparently.
It's the BIPCOT license. It's hard to like get a channel that can make this get the signal all the way through California.
Because it needs to be a government-free channel. You know, I don't know if I've ever really explained what the BIPCOT license means and does. If you go to BIPCOT.org, BIPCOT.org, it explains it. It's a license we came up with. It's an alternative to, you know, GNU open source licenses or Creative Commons licenses. The BIPCOT license basically means anybody can use any media or service or product or design or anything that is covered by the BIPCOT license, even for commercial purposes, without asking our permission. Like, you could literally take every Fiends episode, put them on a cable TV channel, and charge people money to watch it and listen to it, and never give us money. That would be acceptable under the BIPCOT license. And the reason we're that open with it is because we know that, as Tim O'Reilly from O'Reilly Media said, artists have more to worry about from obscurity than they do from piracy. I've seen this time and time again. People who,
of course,
want to get something out in the world, and they keep it close to their vest with copyright. And like a really good example is that guy that Jim was making fun of last night, J. Neil Schulman. Like, outside of Liberty, not many people have heard of that guy.
Jim Jesus was making fun of him.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did I say Jim Babb?
No, you just said Jim. Just to clarify who you're talking about, though.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot more people would have heard of that guy if he put his stuff out, even Creative Commons. But he's threatened to shoot people for copying his stuff before. And it's like, you know, do you want to be remembered or do you want to, you know, die in obscurity? So you pick the license that's going to help you be remembered.
Weren't they like at first like really scared that radio was going to like ruin the music business? Like you're going to play the music out on radio for free?
Yeah, this goes back. I mean, the phonograph, you know, here's a really good example. Okay, the phonograph came out. There were people, you know, like Edison wanted to put stuff out, and he wasn't paying people much or at all. He's like, hey, play into here and I'll make you famous. You know, he had his people go out and make recordings to sell on the Edison phonographs about 100 years ago. That's really when the music industry started. Before that, any music you heard had to be live. There had to be someone there playing it, or there was no music. So the phonograph changed that. And he went out and what's the band? Oh, what's the jazz band from New Orleans that's been around for 100 years? With different people in it, and everyone in it's like 90.
Rebirth, Brass Band?
Not the Rebirth, no, the...
Dirty Dozen?
Nope.
I don't know.
It's the other one. It's the Preservation Hall Jazz Band.
Okay. You've
heard of them, right? Okay. So, I mean, everyone's heard of them. Anybody who's into that kind of music has heard of them. They tour the world. You know, they've replaced them like Menudo, but they don't do it every 5 years. They do it like every 75 years. Like, the guys in it now are like 90 years old, and they're still touring and still, and you, like, they play every night in the French Quarter, and people pack the house. And when the phonograph came out, Edison's people went to two different jazz groups in New Orleans. One was the Preservation Hall Jazz Band, and another one was one you've never, ever, ever heard of, and asked, can we record you? And Preservation Jazz Band said, sure. And this other band you've never, ever heard of said, no, that'll take away money from our live performances. You know? So, yeah. You know, the moral of the story is, I don't know the name of that band. I can't remember.
Van Halen. They turned out to be Van Halen.
Well, it's just like the Dead.
Rest of their demise is history.
The Dead used to encourage people to tape their shows and distribute them widely.
Which was really weird, because nobody else was doing that at the time. And that was kind of the thick of the music industry having the monopoly on... recordings, like, you know, the 70s through the early 80s, like, you know, the recording labels were the companies that tried to, like, block the introduction of the cassette tape player, and they tried to put a tax on cassette tapes because they said they'd lose business. And you know, they lost a little business and stuff, but really the thing that really killed them was Napster. And I love Napster, and I love that some kid in his dorm room destroyed Hollywood, because that was shortly after I had my heart broken by the record industry, because my band got signed by Warner Brothers. They promised us the world, and they dropped us after one record. And you know, they lied. They got us into bed and said we were pretty and said they'd do all this stuff for us. And by the end of it, I was with a band. We were just like sitting there in a cold room by ourselves, pregnant in our best dress, crying.
Chumps.
And then Napster happened, and I was like, yes!
Yeah, why would you possibly have suspected that those record executives weren't going to be, you know, like, liars, on the up and up? Like,
liars, you know, and capitalists and their
feet. Yeah, like, how would you possibly have seen that coming? That seems, I feel
so
bad.
They're liars, corporatists, and they smell like stale cocaine and groupie herpes.
Ew.
Mm-hmm. All right, so that's enough.
Speaking
of
Angela...
Are you calling her groupie herpes?
No.
Nothing to add to the delightful list of things that make America great.
Yeah. Go ahead, try. Freestyle.
To freestyle. I didn't know we could even say groupie herpes into the airspace.
It's almost 2 a.m.
Whatever space I'm talking to.
Where most of us people are listening to us. You know, if put it this way, it's not an FCC violation. And if your kids are up listening to the radio right now, you have parenting problems that go far beyond what I'm saying.
Well, there's nothing about herpes that shouldn't be something that you're like, oh, my kids are in the car, I better turn off this podcast. Is there?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, no. I mean, no. It could be excitement. It could be an important family discussion. You never know when one of those beautiful teaching moments arrives.
Yeah.
So true.
They got to learn sooner or later. You got to teach your kids sooner or later what messing around with a record company will lead to.
My daughter recently came to me. She was she's doing a report on whistleblowers. She's in eighth grade, okay, and she's doing this project on whistleblowers. And Ed Snowden is somebody she's interested in, and we've talked about different whistleblowers. And then she's like, well, we're talking about like the Bob Woodward and the deep throat.
Pentagon Papers.
She goes, well, I don't know if I can include this whistleblower because, well, I Googled deep throat and...
Oh, no. I always thought that was a really crass code name for... That's the name he came up for himself, right? Or was it the what Woodward and Bernstein called him?
No, I think he came up with that himself.
Yeah.
Whatever it is. And I just told her, you know, don't worry about that. You know, just I think most people can figure out the difference. Don't worry. Just, you know, do your report the way you want to do it. But whatever, you know, it's not like something that you can't talk about. It's just,
You know, it's kind of funny.
He was named that by Howard Simmons, the managing editor of the Washington Post. Oh, okay.
There you go. You know, it's kind of funny. My kid came up to me a few weeks ago. And she said, Dad, I'm having problems in school. And I said, well, why? You know, what's because my kid's usually straight A's and she does really well. And I said, what's the problem? She says, well, I'm really having a hard time in civics class. She goes, I know I just got to keep my mouth shut and do the work and not like say how I really feel. Because she listens to us, you know, she gets it. And she comes up to me a couple weeks ago and she goes, Dad, would you be mad if I failed civics class? And I'm like, well, you know, I want you to try your best and work your hardest. But, you know, if you fail it, oh, well, civics class, it's no big deal.
Hmm.
Yeah. Because the things.
Isn't civics class these days in public high school just like learning to vote and fill out welfare forms?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, her teacher is more conservative, almost kind of a libertarian bent, but not quite. And so it's a little bit better, but it's still horrible.
I would just say walk out and never go back. I'd say,
well,
and if that,
she's done.
You know,
she's done. Okay. She had a semester and she suffered through it, and now she's done.
Yeah, you know, she just walked in. She can just walk out.
Yep.
Well, you know, there's a book called Possum Living that was written by the sister of a friend of mine that I went to boarding school with, and you should check this book out. It's a 1970s book on prepping and living off the grid, which is pretty amazing because it wasn't as nearly a widespread thing back then.
Well, it was more underground back then.
Yeah, it was more underground. Thing. Yeah. And, the woman who wrote it, God, what was her name? She had some fun. But she was, like, on all the talk shows when she wrote this because, you know, she was, she was like this cute young lady who wrote this book on, like, you know, shooting turtles and skinning them with your teeth and eating them. And it was, you know, it was good.
Sarah Palin?
No, Dolly Freed. DOLLYFREED. And I met this lady. She came and spoke at my school. And the book is pretty amazing. But the really cool part about it is she learned a lot of this from her dad. So basically when her parents got divorced, she decided she didn't want to go to school anymore. She was like 14 or 15. And she later literally became a rocket scientist without any training. She worked for NASA and was a high school dropout. Talk more about it when we get back.
Back when NASA was cool, though.
Yeah. Well, it's back when they blew up the space shuttle, but yeah.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Dolly Freed. And when she was a teenager, she decided she was too smart for high school, public high school. She was going to high school about 40 miles north of Philly. And she was living with her dad right after her parents got divorced. And her dad was like, if you don't want to go to school, fine. And so she just went to school one day and told everybody that her and her dad were moving to California. She had tearful goodbyes with everyone, hugged them goodbye, hugged her teachers, her friends, and then her dad came and picked her up at noon and drove her off, and they said they were going to California. They just went back home and never went to school again. And then people would see her around town and be like, oh, yeah, we're just back visiting. And it worked. Like, that's how you got out of high school.
You had to make up stories like that just to get out of it.
Yeah, but it worked.
Just to get disconnected from the system.
Yeah.
Well, that's the deal that I have with my kids. It's like, we picked out schools that we thought were good for them. But, you know, I said, look, the day you don't want to go, you say, I don't want to go. You're not going. We don't have to make up a story. You just stop going. So. Man.
If I'd had that option that next day, I would have. I hated school. I really did.
Well, and why would I want to send my kids to a school they hate? So I'm not doing that. No way.
Are they going to
school? The only reason they go to school is because they hated homeschooling.
Ah, so. I would have loved homeschooling. I was homeschooling myself. I used to like cut class so I could go hang out in the library at school. Like I would cut class in school and go to the school library so I could actually learn something.
I got in trouble for skipping school to go to the library. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I would also.
That shows what lame kids we were, you know?
Yeah. I know. Nerds.
What a waste. Well, we wasted our youth skipping school, going to the library.
At 14. The public library was two blocks away from our home, and it was a really good library for a small town. It's the Patterson Library in Westfield, New York, the James Patterson Memorial Library. Google it. I mean, it looks like a big city library, and it's in a town of like 3,000 people. And I would go hang out there all night, but then I'd smoke pot with the seniors who never would have set foot in a library in back of that library. Then I'd go back in and read more. It's part of my, education. It was, now they just give kids Ritalin to calm them down. I just was smoking pot, which is less dangerous. So, James, you've been called a terrorist by Whoopi Goldberg. Whoopi, why don't you tell me
about that? Yeah, that was years ago, though. I haven't been denounced by anybody really worthwhile since, like lately. I need to get on that. I haven't been denounced recently.
Yeah, well, it's pretty exciting.
I did not know you'd been denounced.
Yeah, and I want you to tell this story because while, all of our friends and listeners on the internet have probably heard this, probably not a lot of people listening on radio know about this, but they know who Whoopi Goldberg is. So go ahead and tell us the story of you and George Donnelly.
Well, this was 2010. Okay, so it was a while ago. It's when sort of those the X-ray scanners were getting rolled out. We call them porno scanners and stuff. And anyway, it was a good opportunity to have like a libertarian position that like people like actually agreed with. It's like, hey, I don't think the government should be able to,
look at my grandmother naked and my young daughter naked.
Right. Yeah. And so like this is a really tough one for them to be like, no, we do need the state to, in your grandma's pants. Because that's what the opposition view was. No, we must have the state taking nude photos of your children. Like, it's the argument was so lame. We were going to try to do something. We're like, maybe we could just let people know, like, it was coming to Philly. And I was like, hey, maybe we can just delay it. Maybe we make a stink. Maybe we can keep them out of our airport. So I thought, well, maybe we'll just, just cause some trouble or something. Do a demonstration. And then this was like the day before Thanksgiving, like the biggest travel day of the year. So then... It became this like national opt-out day where we said, well, if you're gonna go to the airport, don't consent to the scan, right? Just don't. You opt out. You say no, I'm gonna pass on that, and then they sexually assault you, which isn't any better. But our main message was we won't fly. We don't want to do this. So. Anyway, that's what Whoopi decided we were terrorists for telling people not to fly or to consent to nude photography.
Oh, how dare
you. Did she call you by name? Or just your...
Yes. She said, we know who they are. It's James Babbitt, George Donnelly. And then one of the alumni was like, oh, and that Ron Poole. Ooh. I was like, wow, he got dissed in the same show. The same show as us. I'm like, yeah.
Wow.
Good times.
Good.
My fellow sheep, election season is upon us. Are you one of the 12% of Americans who still approves of our government? Then we need your help to force the other 88% into compliance. Our democracy depends on it. We're an organization called Citizens Against Too Much Unfettered Freedom, or CATMUF. CATMUF is a bipartisan flock of sheep whose goal is expanding government until nothing else remains. Because the government is here to help you. How can you help CATMUF help you? By only voting for candidates dedicated to expanding government. It's easy. You don't need to study the issues. No matter what a politician says when running for office, they're all dedicated to expanding government. And make sure you tell all your friends and family to vote for more government. Here at CATMUF, we don't care if you vote Democrat or Republican, as long as you vote for candidates committed to growing our federal family. CATMUF, because folks just aren't smart enough to handle real freedom.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting to the Libertarian Re-Education Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon High Top Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOD no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at bipcot.org. Man, it feels like we're broadcasting, for me, from the ice planet of Hoth. Like, that's the vibe we've got over here in Pennsylvania.
That good, huh? Dude, it was like 42 degrees today. All the snow and ice melted from my roof. I was so happy.
In Maine. Has the snow melted in Los Angeles, Angela?
Yes.
Yes, it has.
Well, it is like all the streets now are like, we had a pretty good volume of snow. All the streets are sort of carved out and just like piles of snow everywhere now. So it's kind of getting back to normal, but everybody's freaked out. People are fighting over parking spaces. It's been kind of interesting. Did you see that picture that I was sharing that has a Philly street where there's a sign somebody puts in their spot, like, you know, I cleared this spot, and if you park here, I'm going to break your windows. Have a nice day. And some people thought, oh, I'll park there. I don't care. And I've said, you know what? That's parking space homesteading to me. Like, you mixed your labor with the shovel. I'd say you're starting to accumulate some property rights to that. So why not? I don't know. What do you think? Do they? I guess there's no shortage of parking spaces in Maine.
No, there really isn't. Well, I guess it depends. You know, some of the streets are pretty narrow and not well thought out. Sometimes driving in Maine is like driving in Boston. I don't know if you've ever had that horrible experience.
I hate Boston.
Yeah,
driving in it, I hate it.
Yeah, me too. But it's not quite that bad because it's not so big. But you'll find that streets just have these weird spaces, half spaces and stuff. But usually it's not a problem. But you do run into the problem where, you know, the snowplows plow the streets and leave these big banks on the sidewalks and in the parking spots. So, yeah, I suppose if you expend your labor to clear that out, you could homestead that and put a little sign and say, hey, this is mine, you know.
Right. Well, Philly is terrible for parking, number one, because we have this thing called the PPA, the Philadelphia Parking Authority, which are like literally they're like stormtroopers. OK, this is like if you ever can imagine a branch of government that it actually works because all they do is loot. Okay, and steal cars. It's just a car stealing operation, and they also have the city also claims monopoly over providing parking services, deciding who can build parking decks. So they've created this ridiculous artificial scarcity of parking to under good weather. Okay. So now, yeah, something happens and suddenly the supply of parking is reduced, demand skyrockets, and people go to war over parking spaces. Well, so
that's just the result of that social contract you tacitly agreed to by living in Philly, right?
Right. You didn't move to Somalia, you know. I guarantee they're not fighting over snow shoveling in Somalia.
They probably never knew what a snow shovel is down there.
We have LA parking cops here too.
We have one in Augusta.
They've killed them.
Yeah.
They've killed the nightlife here in Los Angeles.
What is the parking? Since everybody drives, you can't like the blocks are so big in LA, you can't even go like one block without a car, can you? I mean.
Well, I'm very, very lucky. I live in West Hollywood, so I do get to walk quite a bit and can walk to basically almost all the places I need to go to regularly, which is fantastic. That's not true for most of the city, though. And there is the city did change regulations that apparently this was much, much different in the 90s, but at some point they changed it so that they created also the artificial scarcity here as well, which is over when jacked up private parking rates, which is fine, I mean, for whatever the private people want to charge, but they also have really predatory towing here. So towing is going on constantly. Oh, yeah. If you're waiting even 5 minutes after, the cars will be towed. See, in here in LA, on many of the roads, the far right lane where people park will become a traffic lane at between 4 p.m. and 7 p.m. and then again at 7 a.m. to 9 a.m.
Oh, God.
So you have to be very careful in watching the parking rules and the parking. And they also have alternate street cleaning. And then there's also areas, neighborhoods that have permit parking only, which usually is because they've got friends on the city councils or whatever, their neighborhood councils. So there's all these different regulations you have to be constantly aware of. And you learn how to manage them. Otherwise, you get really expensive parking tickets or tows. You know, people get their cars towed, and that's a production. You have to go and get the car and wait in line and then go to claim it. And that's usually it's an expensive way to spend an hour as well. That's at least $200 right there.
That's getting off easy. And in Philly, you get your car towed. Yeah, it's going to cost you a minimum of $200. Minimum. It's probably another $200. And you're going to wait in line no less than four times. Okay? This is your line to see what to do. Then they tell you which line to go in. Then you have to go pay over there. Then after you take that receipt to that line over there, and then you wait over here for somebody to walk you to your car, and it's evil.
Oh,
evil.
Man,
Philly has hundreds of tow trucks. I've been to this parking lot where there were thousands of cars, it seemed like, that had been stolen by this gang. Thousands in this giant lot and a row of tow trucks that looked like it must be 50 tow trucks. Just this one thing just sitting there. I'm like, wow.
And I bet they're all subsidized by the state. You know, what a scam that is, and what a pathetic, depressing, thankless job a traffic enforcer is. We have one in Augusta, the city I live, and you'll see her during, it used to be a woman, I think it's a guy now, you'd see him walking on the downtown strip during the morning in this horrible brown SS looking uniform. They don't even have like the blue and black regular police officer uniforms. Just walking down the street with their little chalk stick marking tires. And I remember one day there was a guy that was following the traffic lady and erasing the chalk mark on everyone's tires.
Oh, sweet.
But it's such a horrible thing. And like, I can't imagine what would inspire you, to want to do that sort of thing.
Well, usually they just need some kind of a job, Last time I got my car towed, I was asking some, it's sort of a captive audience. So we're making jokes with people in line and, we're kind of having a good time. And it was just like, so when every time I talked to one of these guys, I'd be like, hey, do you have any, do you have any skills? Is there anything that that you could do that people might want to pay you to do instead of, being part of this car, theft ring? And and they'd be like, huh? Yeah. I'm like, yeah, you know, have you ever thought about it? I was like, you know, have you ever checked out careerbuilder.com? Seriously. You know, like monster.com. Well, try it.
It's such a racket, too, because I remember one day I was coming down this hill and, you know, you're on, obviously you're on the right side of the road. And I was going to the library, which was on the left side of the road. And I just kind of crossed over and parked in the parking spot on the left side of the road in front of the library. But I was facing down, like I was on the right side. And I was in the library for about 10, 15 minutes. And I came out and I had a $10 parking ticket. And I'm like, how can I have a parking ticket? I'm in a parking spot. And it was written on the ticket, parked the wrong way. I was like, are you kidding me? I threw it in the trash and ignored it. It's probably up to like $1,000 now. Cause
there's no warrant out for your arrest, and they could end up just like shooting you on sight and saying, well, we had a warrant. We have to do.
Well, I don't think there's a warrant because, you know, I mean, I've been pulled over a few times since, and they haven't shot me yet. So, but how ridiculous is that, right? Like, you want to talk about a victimless crime? Parked the wrong way.
I've had that happen out here in the Pennsylvania suburbs in front of my own house, okay? Like, because the car was facing the wrong way. And, you know, we basically, Christina was the one that fought it. She just went in there and been like, seriously, you're telling me how to park on in front of my house? Like, get lost. And they're like, okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, up here in Maine, they have the winter. The street ban or whatever, and like, you know, I can see, please don't park on the street if there's been a storm because the plow trucks have to come by and plow the streets. Fine, I'll concede that point, but they start this parking ban on November 15th, and like on years like this year where we didn't even get snow till the end of December, you can't even park out in front of your house.
They still enforce that despite the fact that hey, that's a revenue generating opportunity. Why not?
Yeah, if they can get 15, 20, well, I think it's 25 now per time. If they can get $25, that's easy money for them. They just have to drive by, see your car out there, slap a ticket on it.
I got a ticket from the Philadelphia Parking Authority one time, and I was like, how did this happen? I'm parked legally.
Parking authority.
I had parked legally, but I didn't notice it. My like emissions had expired.
Oh yeah, I have a few expired tags on my car.
So right now. No, it was just like the inspection had just expired or something like that. And I went in and challenged it. I said, "Hey, you know, this says that you're not allowed." You know, and they said, "Well, we're allowed to enforce that law." I said, "Well, the law says you're not allowed to operate a vehicle that's not inspected. Do you have evidence that I operated this vehicle?" Like, you know, and they just laughed at me.
Yeah. Of course they did.
My wonderful, logical, you know, reasoned argument was just a joke, you know.
And do you know how many, it's sad, how many people will defend them when they give you a ticket for, you know, having your registration expired or having your inspection sticker expired, you know. And I guess, like, on some level, I can understand the whole inspection sticker expired, how people could defend that because they want you to drive safe cars. I don't agree with it, but whatever. But the registration, people will defend that. And I'm like, really? Well it goes to those excise taxes go to fund our roads. And I'm like, really? So all these cars, right? Have you seen our roads lately? Because they're horrible up here. Horrible.
Yeah, terrible here too.
People are still using the we need to build the roads better argument. Roads.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Seriously. Really? You're banking on that one? That's the one? You know? That's the one that's essential? Really? Wow.
This is what I guess is going on in the civics classes.
And they drive on these roads every day, and they're so horrible.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Disturbing, sad, kind of enraged me a little bit, and it's about a woman who has an IQ of 70 and had her newborn taken from her by the state, and I think you had something to say about that, Angela.
Oh, it was disturbing. It was very disturbing. I think the link you sent was to Jezebel, so I made the mistake of reading the comment thread.
Oh yeah,
found it even further disturbing, and how quickly the mostly women readership of Jezebel had so little sympathy for this woman having her child taken away from her. Now, the details, I think, included the fact that the mother was having some difficulties with some basics, but it's not like she wasn't getting them, and there wasn't really any evidence that the child was actually being neglected, just that she was learning how to do things. And the child was sent off to foster care, where it's living with the half-sibling. Apparently the father of this child had sired another child with someone else. And the parents of the woman who had the baby had been in some kind of trouble with the Child Protective Services is in this particular state where this case took place. And So this child, this woman is objected to her child being taken away from her. She can communicate and understand things well enough to say that she did not consent to this and that she wants her child back. And they're only allowing her an hour supervised visit once in a while. I mean, as if she were, I mean, the same kind of treatment kind of one would get if one actually kind of convicted of child abuse, where yep. You're only allowed to see your child once in a while under very stringent circumstances. And it was really, really kind of disturbing, the comment thread, how these women who generally have some sense of how women get screwed over in the system were quick to turn and say this is absolutely the right decision, unqualified, that this was clearly the right decision this woman made to have this taken away, and speculated her ability to consent to sex and whether or not she should be forcibly sterilized or be made to use some kind of contraceptive. Without any regard whatsoever for what this woman's desires might be.
Well, the left has always been huge on genetic planning, right?
Oh, yeah. And Margaret Sanger,
eugenics, right? Like, you know, how do you support eugenics, right? If you're into eugenics, then you'd probably be like, you know, that's what progressives are. You know, it's all about control. I think controlling other people.
And it doesn't like. One of the things people don't mention is that this girl wasn't like one of, and I hate to say this, one of those people that just pops out the babies and collects welfare. You know, I guess you could say accidents happen. She had a baby. She wanted to raise this baby, and she had the help of her parents, the child's grandparents. They were going to help her. And still the state stepped in and said, no. Legally, I think the legal definition was you're not smart enough to parent a child. Give me a break. Really? You know, in a world where children are so many children are thrown away and not taken care of and not loved, you know, you have a parent who actually wants to, and the state is going to step in with the supposed authority and say, no, you can't. You can't love this child. You can't raise this child.
Child can't have you as a mother. That's what the victim is the child as much as the mother. I mean, exactly. You know, the child could be in more danger being with strangers or who knows, you know.
And if sad. If it turns out that the mother truly can't care for the child, then I think it falls on the family to step in and say, okay, we're going to take care of this child. I've seen this. I know somebody personally who has similar issues and has fathered children and couldn't take care of them. And instead of, not all the time, in all the cases, but in some of them, instead of the state stepping in and pulling the child out and throwing them away to this horrible, you know, adoption system, the family stepped in and said, we'll take care of them.
I'm looking at this article a little bit as you're talking, and I see that it was, there were people at the hospital that started noticing things. They said, oh, the mother, you know, can't tell time on a clock because it has hands. Okay.
Right.
And she was overwhelmed by a feeding chart. Okay. So nurses became concerned and called the Massachusetts Department of Children and Families. Okay. Yeah. You know, come on.
Well, and you know, the thing that really bothers me is.
But wait a minute. How do you. Why do you want a healthcare provider that's going to call people like that, like when you need help?
Yeah.
It's going to make people not want to get healthcare.
Yeah.
Right.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Keaton. Not quite a full squirm. A full squirm would be four hosts. We're down to three, so we have a three-quarter squirm.
We can make it work. So yeah, we were talking in the last segment about a young lady who had basically clinical mental retardation. She has an IQ of 70, and she had her baby taken from her by the state. Now, they made the argument that, you know, she has a hard time telling time on an analog clock. And during this interview where the state came in when she was in the hospital, they noticed she forgot simple things like, you know, wiping the mouth after the baby spit and all that. Well, first off, before we even go into the clinical aspect, how many of you remember what it was like, if you've had a child, remember what it was like to be a new parent? I am not disabled, but I can remember being terrified as a new parent, and there was so much I needed to learn that, hey, I never knew this stuff, but I had a support system around me, and you know, I had the internet and whatever, so I learned. And so could this woman. And the other thing is, with these supposed disabilities, coming from my background, I work with individuals with developmental disabilities. Our whole job is adapting the environment to suit the individual's needs so that they can have the most optimal success. That's exactly what you could do with this woman. So if she has a hard time with the feeding schedule, she gets overwhelmed, you break that down. If she has a hard time with the clocks and stuff, you use digital clocks, you set alarms. You know, I'm sure she has a smartphone. You set an alarm that says baby feeding time or something simple like that. There are all kinds of simple accommodations you can make.
Of course.
To make sure she's more successful. To just say, oh, no, she's a danger. Like one of our fiend friends posted a comment on this on Facebook that, what the state did in this instance is pre-crime. She may neglect the baby. She may cause harm.
Well, it's punishing the baby. Okay, remember this. My understanding is that this baby was removed from the mother for 2 years. Okay, yes. 2 years of bonding missing. The returned as a toddler, where the kid is calling another woman mama. Okay. And, you know, she finally gets the kid back, but at what cost? You never get those years of bonding back.
No.
It's just so tragic for everyone involved. And seriously, let's just say this woman had serious problems, okay?
at what point is the answer, well, let's get some government in here and let's break up that family right away and let's make, you know, like, it's just so, so destructive. You know,
and that sadly, that's the first impulse of so many people is to use the violence of the state to try and fix the situation when it didn't need to be done. Her family was more than willing to help her out. Why couldn't they go with that?
Well, and what kind of world, I mean, like, what kind of relationship is it when one person can tell another person that they don't even have the right to be a parent?
That would be a slave-master relationship.
Right, with no evidence that they had ever harmed that their child, okay, right? There was no, was there ever any accusations of harm to the child? It was only like an imagined threat. I haven't read all every detail, right?
No, that's the case, yep.
Okay, so based on...
burp it.
Yeah.
So, naturally, let's destroy that family, you know? It becomes the go-to conclusion for these busybodies that just thrive on ruling, running other people's lives.
And you're exactly right, because in their quest to save this child and help this child, they've probably created more problems, because now that the child is back with her natural mother, like you said, those 2 years of bonding are lost. And what kind of effect is that going to have on this child's development?
So when you have somebody, if one person can tell another person, oh, I can tell you whether you can be a parent or not, okay, that's kind of like chattel slavery, isn't it? When they would tell their slaves, like, what their reproduction is going to be, right? Like, how does one person get that right over another? That is not right.
Yeah.
It just stuns me that children are born to less than ideal circumstances every day. The immediate reaction is usually not to check into all of them. Why would we? That's weird and nosy, and it's also based on some reality where you can make everything perfect. There's lots of situations that aren't going to be perfect. Children will still get through them somehow. They do all the time. There are all kinds of insane parents and horrible situations, and this did not seem particularly abusive, and there was no evidence of violence or sexual impropriety.
No, it was all pre-crime. That's exactly, I think that's the best description I've heard.
But, you know, and it also is the real dark side of this merger between government and healthcare, right? Like, it is the real, you know, like one of the real, like, evil side effects, the unintended consequences when the hospital staff becomes a natural extension of the enforcement arm of the state, right? Uh-huh. Like, what a weird, like, that is the medical establishment should be fighting so hard to preserve their medical ethics under this kind of assault. But I don't really hear much complaints. I mean,
it's gotten to the point now where, you know, if you don't go while you're in the hospital and get the proper documentation for your child, like Social Security and all that. And I'm not making the argument whether you should or you shouldn't. I know there's varying views on that, and that's fine. But it's not the hospital's role to say, oh, if you're not doing that, we think you're a danger and report you to the state. And you can't even leave the hospital with your kid if you don't do that.
Right. They act like they're the bank. Like, the bank is like, well, I don't know, that transaction, you know, yeah, it wasn't over $10,000, but it was suspiciously less than $10,000. We might call, you know, better call my hotline to report my own, you know, to report the customers. Instead of just you having a customer service provider relationship, they're like part of the surveillance net on you. And they're,
It reminds me of 1984, where everyone is a snitch on everyone else. It's disgusting.
It doesn't bring out the best in humanity. You know, it doesn't make me, excited. It could make people that say, like, you know what? What if that happened to me? I better not have this baby at the hospital. That's what somebody could say, right? Like, they could see this example, they could read this story and be like, oh, that would be horrible. I better have this baby, you know,
in less safe environment.
In the break room at Walmart. I don't know what they would be thinking, but anyway.
Well, I think, you know, and this ties, we can tie this into the whole Liberty Mission too, because people would say in this circumstance, well, what would you do? What's your solution? And again, with so many problems, you adapt your environment to foster the most optimal results, you know, to, you know, people talk about the roads and the post office and, you know, all these services that government supposedly provides and that we need government for. We could adapt and work voluntarily and cooperatively to provide these services without needing some gang, you know, stealing from us and using violence to accomplish their means. It's no different in this circumstance as in so many others. But people, the thing is that requires a lot of work, effort, pre-planning, trial and error, and people don't want that. They want the instant, oh, we know this works, which in a lot of cases, have you been to the post office? I mean, it doesn't work, but they want that instantaneous gratification, so they go with the violent route.
Right. Well, and of course, you know, from our perspective, the root of wisdom is to say, I don't know the answer, right? I don't know the best way to always handle a situation where, you know, you have a problem mother. I don't know how to handle it, but you know what? I'm pretty sure smashing up their family by force isn't going to be part of the solution I'd come up with. And I'm sure there's plenty of far smarter people that have thought about these problems than I have. So, but when these central planners come in and they assume that they know what's best for this woman, they know what's best for this baby, they know what's best for that person, they know what's best for everybody, and they sit at their desk and make these choices for people.
And they're not even qualified to.
What a fantasy. Yeah, what a fantasy to think that you're ever going to do anything to help people in that situation.
Not all problems have solutions.
Yeah.
It's very unfortunate. There's sometimes you have to say, yeah, that's an unfortunate situation. So the hell what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's yes. I mean, it's just that's, you know, there will be no making perfect on earth, but only in the minds of the Jezebel commenters can there be the perfect.
Well, and you know, and even bad situations can turn around. This woman got her baby back, you know. I'm really happy for them. So yeah, it was screwed up, but you know, at least that family's back together. So you know, because people fought, because people came to her aid, and you know, that's you know, probably the examples of the best of humanity, when people reached out and they saw a mother in need and they said, you know what, we got to get her the lawyers, we got to get a lawsuit, we got to get this, you know, people figured it out and fought for her,
as there should be, because she does not have the ability to have the same kind of representation the average person would to navigate the system. She's at a horrible disadvantage, and I was just stunned by the Jezebel commenters, and they talk about privilege, but when they don't actually see their own privilege, they just see everyone else's.
True.
Well, yeah, I don't know, you got to try, right? I mean, that's the first step to success. If you fail, you try again, you know, and I understand that there's another human life at stake in this situation, but I just can't go along with it, you know. She would have had help, and how is she supposed to learn if she's robbed of that opportunity? How is anyone supposed to learn when they're constantly protected, you know? I mean, I've had this discussion with so many people recently, you know, young people. Society is so interested in not offending and protecting everyone that nobody can learn anything. So, yeah.
You're triggering me.
Oh, trigger warning.
I'm going to have to retreat to my safe space now.
Yeah. Well, we're going to retreat to the market. Arms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Third act. We've had some pretty kind of depressing topics, man. A poor guy, rancher, getting murdered, father of 11 stepchildren to look after. We've got a woman having her baby stolen by the state. We need some good news here, right? There is some good news out there. How about this story? Virginia Jeep Club shuttles nurses to hospital during blizzard, okay? This Jeep Club said, you know what, we can handle snow. They gave 450 rides to 575 nurses with 17 Jeeps in 48 hours. How about that?
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes.
All voluntary, I might add.
Of course, right? Yeah, and you got to wonder, like, are the Jeep drivers going to be charged for giving these unauthorized rides?
Like, oh, probably. They probably said some liability issue right there.
They're like, yeah, you don't have a chauffeur's permit. I'm sorry. Yeah, we really, thanks. And imagine what those 575 nurses were able to accomplish when they got to work, right, as a result, too. So, I mean, imagine how many people benefited from these acts, of these selfless guys and ladies that did this. So, kudos to them. These kind of like extreme weather, it brings out the worst in people, but it also brings out the best. So that's pretty good. What else we got?
I don't know. I'm still kind of wanting to see. Apparently there's an Oregon militiaman who's challenged. He's a sumo wrestler, and he's challenged Chris Christie to a sumo match. He's in a loincloth and ready to go. And I think this could be a new trend, right? Instead of the debates, we could have like wrestling matches. Duels. Like, we don't want to bring back duels because duels result in death. So let's just have them, like, do sumo matches. Strap a loincloth on them and have them go at it. Put it on pay-per-view.
Like as a Republican debate or like...
any of them. Republicans, Democrats. I mean, come on. Don't you want to see Hillary and Bernie Sanders go at it? In the square circle.
Wow.
I want to see more wrestling. It would make more sense.
Well, I mean, yeah, but picturing the candidates, right?
That could be more. That I don't know if there's a way to make U.S. politics more horrifying, but you may have found a way.
But it'll make it a heck of a lot more entertaining. I mean,
I'd rather see them like put on like special armor or like cyborg implants and just go at like just massive battle on it. Like get all the Republicans on one team and Democrats and just have them like just wage total war against each other where innocent people are all out of the way.
That would be good. Did you see that there's a body armor company that's made Boba Fett body armor, the character from Star Wars? Yeah, that stuff looks bad.
I did say, I thought though? I thought, gosh, I hope they fix the hair trigger on the jetpack. It's a little, is kind of dangerous.
Yeah,
so
we don't need to do that. But we'll strap maybe all the politicians in those and they can duke it out.
Yeah, what? How about like Bernie Sanders? Like, let's implant lasers in his eyes or something.
The Burninator.
And like Donald Trump gets like hammers instead of hands, and they have to go at it. Like, I don't know.
No, he just has a giant megaphone welded to his mouth.
Or just like, or just a helmet, and he just like has to like ram people.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yep, that would work.
I don't know. Hey, here's a. This is a kind of, I call this good news. Second Navy combat ship goes down because someone forgot to check the oil. Oops. Oops. That ship's not going to be killing people for a while. The USS Fort Worth, a Navy ship, combat ship, suffered extensive gear damage while docked in a port in Singapore. The Navy is blaming the incident on crew error. The crew failed to use sufficient lube oil, leading to excessively high temperatures on the gears.
That sounds painful.
Debris also found its way into the lubrication system.
Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Anyway, there you go. They did not follow procedures.
Oh, well.
Well, it's been great, you know, having you guys together, getting Angela out there on the Fiends. Always a treat.
Yes,
Chandler. Always fun to hear what's going on in Maine.
Yes. Well, you guys have a spectacular.